Praise God. You can sit down. Ask your neighbor, are you still fasting? Ask your neighbor, this is our period of consecration. Or tell your neighbor rather, this is our period of consecration. Praise God. By the special grace of God this morning, I'll be looking at the topic, the power of consecration. The power of consecration. The power of consecration. I want us to understand that this season we are, this period we are, and that is known to be the consecration period, that will precede us or that will usher us into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is the heartbeat of God. It is the program of God. It is what the Almighty God desires most, cherishes most, wants most. Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, he was wounded, he was bruised, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Bible says, with his stripes, we are healed. Christ went to the cross of Calvary to pay the price for us. And the primary reason why he went to the cross is not for you and I to become wealthy. I say the primary reason is not for you and I to own this and to own that. But he primarily went to the cross so that we can receive eternal life. That is why he went to the cross. Praise God. Let's open our Bible. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Praise God. Are we there? It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Please leave that verse 1 again. Verse 1 again. Apostle Paul is saying, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What Apostle Paul was trying to make us understand from this scripture is that the heartbeat of God is that we offer our bodies, we offer ourselves unto him. And when we offer ourselves unto him, then he, God himself, will use us for the purpose why we are born on earth. Verse 2. Look at verse 2. Verse 2. It says what? And be not what? Conformed to this world. But be ye what? Be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. By what? by the renewing of your mind. Underline that word, renewing. By renewing of your mind, that ye may what? May prove what? Is that good and what? And acceptable and perfect and will of God. When God created Adam, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 down, it said that Adam was created in the image and the likeness of God. So which means that Adam was a perfect creator or a perfect being created. He was a perfect being created by God. There was no sin in Adam. Adam was clean from every form of pain, whatever you think of. Until the devil came and introduced sin to Adam. And Adam was unable to overcome. And instead of Adam to stand firm to what God has spoken to him, what did he do? The Bible says that an Adam failed God. Adam failed God. So that means Adam was an original being. Am I correct? Adam was original being. Adam was not a counterfeit. Adam was not a fake man. When it comes to something inferior, it is far from Adam. But when the devil came and introduced sin, Adam became another person. And that thing Adam did not stop with Adam. Adam transferred it to you and I. In Psalm 51, verse 5. Psalm 51, verse 5. It said what? It said, behold, I was sharpened in what? In iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. My mother gave birth to me in sin. I inherited Adamic nature. The nature of sin was in me. And the Bible is telling us that despite how we inherited this thing from Adam, according to Romans chapter 12 from verse 2, it says we can be renewed. Glory to God. We can be transformed. Before you talk about renewing, you don't renew until there is something original. Am I correct? Renewment does not come in place if there is nothing. What brings renewing is because something was in place. And that thing that was in place was the heartbeat of God, was the plan of God, was what God wants. But Adam lost it. And it was imputed, it was transferred to us. So renewing is very, very important. And that is why we are going through this period of consecration, so that we can be renewed. Hallelujah. That word renew, IT, give me that picture. That word renew in a Greek word is known to be what? You can call it anakinosis. Repeat after me, say anakinosis. Repeat after, say anakinosis. Give me that picture. Oh, IT, can I have the picture? Okay, while we are waiting for the picture, when we say anakinosis, anakinosis means, is a Greek word, it means to be restored. Okay, you can see the picture. You can see the picture. Now, if you look at this picture clearly, you will notice that there are two buildings there. Am I correct? Church, am I correct? There are two buildings there. Now, these two buildings are the same. And that building is you. That building is me. So when you talk about anakinosis or anakino, anakinosis has to do to restore. And I cannot see it has to do to renovate. And I cannot see it has to do to bring back that which has lost. And the only way to bring back that which he has lost is that we need to go through it. We need to go through it by what? By consecration. And through consecration, the Lord released the Holy Ghost in us. And when the Holy Ghost comes, what happened? He carried out anekenosis. When the Holy Ghost comes, he renovates you. When the Holy Ghost comes, he changes you from who you knew, from who you used to be, to what? To another person. Now that building has been renovated, and that is why he's looking very attractive. The building is looking very attractive. And that is what God wants to do in this consecration, in this baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Lord wants to renovate someone. You are not shouting amen. I said God wants to renovate you. And if you believe he wants to renovate you, shout the loudest amen. You notice another one called anakanon. Anakanon has to do with something daily. It's something that happens day by day. And that is why John said, he said, may he increase, may I what? May I decrease. And Apostle Paul told us that Christ received the fullness of God. Is he in measure? No. He received the what? He received the fullness of God. Not in measure. He received it with the whole. That means Christ is God and God is Christ. But you and I need to be going through and like I know. That means every blessed day, we keep asking more of him. Because as long you remain in the flesh, as long I remain in flesh, and like I know, is very, very important. It's very, very important because you can't finish knowing God. The day you finish knowing God, he's no more God. When you finish knowing him, it's no more. So every day we keep crying of more and more of him because we want to be better. He said, be ye perfect. Even what? Even as your heavenly Father is what? Is perfect. Perfection is a process. Perfection is no one day job. So this consecration has come to prepare us to experience anekenosis and anekeno. And I'm assuring you that if you are serious and serious with this consecration, you will never, never go without being blessed. I want to talk to somebody this morning. Are you listening to me? You are weak. Are you listening to me? There is a besetting sin. There is something you are finding difficult to overcome. But I hear the voice of the Lord telling me this morning, he said, I can do it. I hear the voice of the Lord telling me, I'm available to renovate you. The only thing is, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 22 or 21. 2 Timothy chapter 19 from verse 20, from verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19. He said what? He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And having this seal, he said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, did what? Depart away from iniquity. Verse 20, he said, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. My emphasis is verse 21. What did he say? Let's read that verse 21 together. If a man, therefore, can we go together? I want to go. If a man therefore purge himself from this, if a man therefore go through consecration, what will happen? He shall be a vessel unto honor and sanctify and meet for the what? For the master's use and prepare unto every good work. At the end of this consecration, some of you will become a prophet. At the end of this consecration, some of you will become a deliverer ministers. At the end of this consecration, some of you, you see yourself, those things you are not able to overcome. You see yourself overcoming it. Why? Because the Bible says you are through this period, we are purging ourselves. And by the time we purge ourselves in it, then the master will come down and say, son, daughter, it's time to be used. I don't know how many of you are ready to be used. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not what? Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in what? In the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who did what? Who did what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. There is a life that we are going to live after this consecration. And that life is not a life of struggling to overcome. It's a life of ease. It's a life of ease. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, it says, he's he that calls us to do what? To do his good will and pleasure. It is not by our strength. It's not by our power. There is a power that will come upon us in this period. Some of us have already started receiving that power. And that is one of the importance of this consecration. Praise God. If you believe me, shout hallelujah. Let's look at the introduction. Before the introduction, give me that note. Give me that sermon note. The sermon note before the introduction. Okay, let's look at the introduction. It's a consecration is what? It's the sacred act of surrounding our whole being. Consecration is a sacred act of surrounding our whole being. That is our body and soul and spirit. Completely to who? To God. It is not just about avoiding sin. Consecration is not all about avoiding sin, but rather it is about offering ourselves fully for the purpose. Letting him use our words, our lives as vessels of the glory. In the world full of what? Of distractions and self-centered living, consecration calls us to lay it all down and say, Lord, I am yours. Not only yours, I am completely yours. Not only completely yours, to do what? I am totally unreserved and what? And forever. Praise God. That is what consecration have to achieve in our lives. It is a time where we surrender our total being to God. It is a time where we tell God, Father, use me the way you want to use me. When Isaiah noticed his state of life, when Isaiah noticed the kind of person he is, and the Bible made us to understand, and God said, who will I send? And who will go for me? What was the response of Isaiah? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. I will go for you. Praise God. Look at that note. Everything in the world that looks positive or negative has gone through one consecration or the other. There is nothing in life. There is nothing anybody can attempt, or there's no great level. Any sister listening to me now, any brother listening to me now, that you can attend if it does not involve consecration. Do you know that our pastor knows Bible? Please let somebody answer me. I'm asking. Do you know our pastor knows Bible? Please give somebody a mic. Yes, quickly, quickly. Let somebody answer me. Let a sister answer me. I want to ask you a question. Quickly, who is answering us? Sisters are afraid. Sisters are afraid they will answer us. Okay. Do you know our daddy, pastor, do you know he knows Bible?
Yes, I do.
You know. Now, do you think that he knows Bible by chance?
No.
No.
It's due to hard work, effort.
Effort. Now, that effort, that hard work, has to do with consecration. So consecration, still remain standing, just a minute. Consecration is not limited to, I want to run away from sin. Every aspect of life involves consecration. Check people who are great in one field or the other, they have gone through one consecration or the other. When you look at the life of David, just a minute, David was able to kill Goliath. Do you know? Now, what gave David that upper hand to confront Goliath? It is not only because David was circumcised. David has gone through consecration. Where did he go through that consecration? He went through that consecration in where? In the bush. When the Bible says when bears, you can sit down, thank you. When white animal comes, what will he do? He will not allow the white animal to do what? To take away the sheep of his father. So he was doing everything possible to do what? To kill any animal that confront him to take away his what? His father's sheep. That was his own consecration. He was in a consecration in the bush. And when he came out, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistines who has come to defy the armies of the living God? He was bold enough, not only because he was circumcised, he has received a consecration. He was skillful. He knows what to do to defeat Goliath. We live in an era, we live in an age where we Christians are finding it difficult to take consecration serious. The people of the world, no wonder the Bible says that the children of this world are wiser than what? Than the children of God. Do you know that somebody who wants to become an occult or who wants to belong to occultism, they can ask him to sleep in fact, to be killed and to be cooked in where? In a pot. That was his own consecration. So which means consecration can be good. One can go on consecration for evil intention or for good intention. Do you agree with me? To postulate the point more, the Bible said there were people who said that they will never eat nor drink until they see Apostle Paul die. What do you call that consecration? Is it evil consecration or good consecration? Imagine people saying that this man of God that is terrorizing, that is preaching the word of God, that they will never eat nor drink until they see Apostle Paul and they melt it. They were not saying it for saying sake. They were saying it and they practice it. But you cannot defeat the purpose of God. You cannot defeat the plan of God. Who is he that saith and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not spoken? If not God's intervention, those people could have succeeded in killing Apostle Paul. Praise God. Give me Isaiah 66 verse 17. Look at what Isaiah 66 verse 17 says. Isaiah 66 verse 17. What do you say? He said what? They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves into the gardens behind. One tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh. The Bible is using the word they sanctify. That means they went into consecration so that they will be able to offer their sacrifice in that idol. And the abomination and the mouth and shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Everything in life involves consecration. If you want to become a powerful Christian, if I want to become a powerful Christian, there is a need to go into consecration. Nothing in life happens by chance. Everything that happens in life, check some people who are powerful. I will tell you, it is not just only that. So many of them, or 90% of them, have gone through one consecration or the other. How many of you are serious in this period? There is a brother listening to me now. There is a sister listening to me. This may be an opportunity for the Lord to use you to realize the kingdom of darkness. This may be an opportunity for the Lord to use you to do exploit in his kingdom. But the only thing he wants from you is leave yourself for me and let me do what I want to do. Appreciate God by clapping your hand. So what is consecration? What is consecration? We are looking at the word consecration as the Lord helps us alphabetically. Alphabetically. So the first letter, when we talk about consecration, the word consecration alphabetically, it has a dynamic meaning. It has a wonderful meaning that Christians should adhere to, that Christians should take serious. The first one is that consecration, it is a period of commitment. It is a period of commitment. And when we say it's a period of commitment, that commitment does not just have to start with us. Our Lord Jesus was highly committed. How do I know? The Bible says that he prayed to his Father. He said, "Father, not as I will, but what? But what? As that willeth." That was his own commitment. He went through what he went through because he understood what commitment is all about. So in this period of consecration, the Lord expects you and I, the Lord demands you and I to be committed. And what you are committed to becomes what? Becomes your response. You cannot respond to what you are not committed to. I cannot respond to what I am not committed to. I can only respond to what I'm committed to. In Joshua chapter 24, from verse 1 to 2. Now, time will fail us to read that scripture. You can go and read it on your own. The Bible said that Joshua narrated how God saved the children of Israel. How God saved them from one place to the other. And at the end of that scripture, let's see Joshua 24, verse 17, verse 15 to 17. 15 to 17. He said, "And if it what? It seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom ye will do what? Will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers serve, that were on the other side of the floor, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me," can somebody say that? "But as for me and my word and my household, we will serve the Lord." Praise God. Who will serve the Lord? Look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel 1, verse 8. "But Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not what? That he will not divide himself with the portions of the king's meat." Daniel, while others were enjoying in idols, Daniel proposed in his heart never to divide himself with the portion of the king's meat. Are you committed to God? Am I committed to God? The next letter, obedience. Letter O, obedience. A consecrated life is a life of obedience to God's voice above all else. Above everything. So this period, it is a period where our we dies and the we of God comes alive. Jesus said, he said, "I am a good shepherd." And not only him being a good shepherd, he said, a shepherd will do what? Will lay down his life for others. The Bible said that he learned obedience from what? From the things that he suffered. Who are we obedient to? God told King Saul, "Go and destroy the city of Amalekites. Don't spare them because these are my enemies. These are the people that I hate with passion because they troubled my people." Thank you. "They troubled my people. And when you get to that city, destroy everything. Don't spare anything." But what happened? What happened to King Saul? Did he obey God? Did they listen to God? Instead of paying attention to God, he was paying attention to what? To Sivas. He was paying attention to the things of the life. Because the things of the life were calling his attention. The things of the life were calling him, "It is time to ride, to drive a Range Rover. It is time to do this, it's time to do that." So you can see that some of us pay attention to the things of the world. We obey the things of the world. And what we obey, we become a servant to it. And God expects you and I to obey him. And when King Saul did what he did, and Samuel told him, because he told Samuel, "I brought all these good things to offer a sacrifice unto God." But Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Do not allow this consecration to go. Let it be a time whereby you are obedient totally to the things of God. Let it be a time whereby your will dies and the will of God comes alive. What letter are we? What letter are we? Letter A. Newness of life. Newness of life. Jesus told us in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 15. He said, as Moses lifted up the what? The serpent in the wilderness. And so with the Son of Man will be lifted up. And what was the purpose why Christ was lifted up? And so that you and I can have a new life. That serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness was not a perfect one. Because anything can happen to the pole. When you lift up the pole and put a serpent on it, what happened? When wind comes, the wind can blow the pole. And the pole will fall. And when the pole falls, they have to look for another pole. They have to look for another serpent. But Jesus has offered himself once for us. Once for us. And the purpose why he offered himself once for all, so that we can have a new life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. So in this period, we want to go back to how we were from the Garden of Eden. There was a nature that the devil took away. And God is using this consecration to call us back to the nature we were. The next letter is sanctification. Sanctification. Praise God. Sanctification. To be consecrated means to be what? To be apart, to be set apart, and to be purified for God's own use. He says, sanctify yourself. In Exodus, he says, sanctify yourself, ye children of the Most High God. In this period of consecration, he says, sanctify yourself, because something is going to happen tomorrow. And what will happen tomorrow? There's going to be a release of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, tarry ye in the wilderness until what? Until thou receive power. There is a power that will come down. And let me quickly tell you, this power that will come down, it is not only going to be on the day that we are starting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So many of us have started receiving the power. So many of us have started receiving that power of the Holy Ghost. And when that time fully comes, the Lord himself will equip us. The Lord himself will sanctify us for every good works and will become a terror in anywhere we find ourselves. Praise God. The next letter. Okay. So, now we are moving to the next letter, endurance. Consecration calls for steadfastness through trials, tests, and all that. Please, pardon, we are not reading the scripture. You can write down the scripture and read it on your own. Praise God. So, in this period of consecration, it is a period whereby we tend to be mature in enduring hard things. Listen to me. In every trials of your faith, there is a promotion coming. In every trial of your faith, there is a promotion coming. You cannot move to another dimension of life. I cannot move to another dimension of life if I am not being tried. And that's why James chapter 1 from verse 2, he said, count it all joy when thou pass through diverse temptations and trials. Because he was sure that the trying of our faith. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, Romans 5:3. Look at the way Apostle Paul put it. He said, and not only so, but we glory in what? In tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. A young man went to the mountain to pray. And after the prayer and everything, he told God, Lord, move me to another level. And the Lord told him, I'm ready to move to another level. But before you are moved to another level, there is something you are to do. There will be a test. And as he was going home, he met a man. And the man said, give me money. And what happened? He brought out what? He brought out 50 naira. The man was only with 250, according to the story. He brought out 50 naira and gave to the man. The man said, no, I don't need that 50 naira. I need the 200 naira. And the young man refused. He said, look at this man. I'm trying to help you. You are trying to tell me what to do. He put the money in his pocket. When he looked back, he did not see the man anymore. Now listen to me. Any trial you fail to overcome may take you another years. If you fall in that trial, the Lord will forgive you. But it will take you another year. It will take you years. It will take you months before you can recover from that trial again. Thank God for Joseph. Joseph was able to overcome. The Bible says that after all, He was able. He went through four P's. The first P, he was in the pits. The second P, where was he? He was in the prison. The third P, where was he? No, palace is the last P. The first P was what? Was they threw him inside the pit. And after they threw him inside the pit, he was sold to the Potiphar's wife. That is the second one. Then when he was sold to the Potiphar's, in the hands of the Potiphar, and the third P, he was in the prison. And from prison, he landed anywhere in the palace. So in this period of consecration, there's going to be a grace that God is going to release upon us. And that grace will empower you and I to overcome every trials of life. The next one, Christ-centered living. So consecration is a time, it is a period where our lives are centered on Christ. Where we don't have a say of our own. Where we don't have anything to say about ourselves. The only thing that has to do with us is that it is all about Jesus. Jesus and Jesus only. Jesus and Jesus only. I don't live anymore to impress anybody. I don't live anymore for whatever reason. I become a servant to Jesus. And therefore, everything about me, about my business and all, is going to be centered on Jesus. Let's proceed. The next letter. Righteousness. Consecration is a period. It is a time where you and I becomes righteous. In Matthew chapter 6 from verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. And what? And his righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's going to be a righteousness. Not righteousness to please your pastor. Not righteousness to please anybody. But that righteousness that it is of God's standard. That righteousness that is not of your own self. But the righteousness that God himself will say, yes, this is my daughter. This is my son. Praise God. Praise God. I say praise God. Then when we become righteous through this period, it moves on to the altar of sacrifice. Consecration means laying your will, your desire, your plans on God's altar. There was an altar that happened at Golgotha. In Golgotha, Christ exhibited that altar. And that altar was the altar where he shed his words, his blood for you and I. He died for you and I. And after that death, what happened? He still have an altar where he's going to meet you. And that altar is your heart. And that your heart is the altar where God will come and do an offer and fellowship with you. But before he can come to fellowship with you, they have to be cleansing. The altar has to go through cleansing. The altar has to be purified. And that was what Elijah practiced. The Bible made us to understand. He told them, rearrange the altar. And if after the rearrangement of the altar, what happened? The Bible said, and fire came. Coming next 2 weeks, fire will fall. You didn't hear me. I said by next week. We have already entered this week. So by next week from Thursday, fire, in fact, a powerful fire will fall. Why? Because some of us are ready for that fire. We are going through preparation. We are preparing the altar. We are getting the heart ready now. And most of all, we have removed malice. We have removed fornication. We have removed lying. We have removed all those things that are weakening us. And God will say, my daughter, my son, it is the time for fire to come. Hallelujah. The next letter, before we round up, the next letter, transformation. Transformation. This is a period, this period of consecration, it is a period of transformation. Are you not tired of the way you are living? Am I not tired of the way I'm living? Am I ready to be transformed by God? Are you ready to be transformed by God? And I want you to know, being transformed, it is for your own good. And every true believer and every true Christian who is eager and ready to receive this transformation must know that you are not receiving that transformation for sake. The Bible says that no man lighted a candle and put it under the bushel, but he put the candle on a candlestick that he that seeth well will glorify your Father. He said, let your light to be so shine. So by the time this transformation comes, we become a light to the world. We become people, a carrier that will affect the whole world. Praise God. The next one is intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Consecration brings us into a deeper communion and closeness with God. It is the time where we fellowship with Him. It is the time where we enjoy fellowship with our Maker. So in this period, let it be upon you that this is the time, this is the period where I am expected to be an intimate with God. There are some of us, especially many of us here, that what we are not able to be doing all this while, we are now doing it selflessly because of the period we are into. Most of us now are enjoying fellowship. As for me, I'm enjoying fellowship with the Lord. I don't know of you. But this period is a period where we are expected to enjoy fellowship with our God. The next letter, let's run the next letter, please. The next one, offering of worship. Offering of worship. Worship, brother, worship does not end by worshiping, by singing praises. The best worship you can give God is the worship of offering yourself to Him. That is the best worship one can give to God. He said, these people worship with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. So in this period of consecration, it is the time where we offer ourselves as unto God, as a worship. We offer ourselves and tell God, this is me, take me. Take me and use me the way you want to use me. And the last letter is, in this period of consecration, it is the period where, not when you will live as a Christian today, you will live like an unbeliever tomorrow. It is the period where we will look at ourselves and say, no turning back. It's a period of no turning back. The fire that will come upon us, it is not the fire that will make us to be cold today and will be hot today and become cold tomorrow. There is a fire that will come. And when that fire comes, we will stand and say, who will we obey? Are we to obey this man or we are to obey God? Apostle Paul says, they said to them, we will never stop speaking on that which we have seen and that which we have heard. They were able to stand firm because why? They believe on what they have seen and what they have heard. Consecration is not, it is a lifelong journey. No retreats and no what? No surrender. No retreat, no surrender. That is the level God is taking us. As I round up, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews, think about that scripture, Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 24 to 26. Hebrews 11 verse 24 to 26. Look at what, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. But what happened in verse 24? In verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for his season. He was determined. He was to be the next Pharaoh. He was to be the next Pharaoh in Egypt. But he looked at himself. He said to himself, there is a call that I'm waiting for. There is something I'm waiting for. Apostle Paul said, I press towards the high calling. I press towards the high calling. And that high calling is better. And that high calling is the calling that the endless world, the creature, are waiting for you and I to manifest. That is the highest calling that every one of us should aspire for. So I beg every one of us in the name of God, no turning back. No turning back. As we receive the fire, as we receive the power, there is no turning back. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. I pray, by your head. Anointing fall upon me. Cover my head. Give me the power to do your will.
Oh Lord, I pray. I have decided. In Jesus' name we've prayed. If you've been consecrated by the sermon on consecration, can you put your hands together for the Lord? There is a word, a Greek word, that my professor of divinity mentioned. Let me see who is a good student. He mentioned a Greek word. He taught us a Greek word. Aina. And the whole church, put your hands together for the Lord. So we are advancing into Greek and Hebrew language. Go to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus 3, 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. So when he was speaking Greek, the anointing for Greek came upon me too. So I started wondering the regeneration. Can we have the word on the screen? Palingenesia. Brother Uzo has opened the door to teaching in Hebrews and Greek. What God wants to do through this period is palingenesia. He wants to renew you. And you know something? He was speaking of renovation. But if the renovation will be proper, the old house must be brought down completely. God is not going to improve us. He's going to change us. And that is the meaning of the word palingenesia. So in this season, the Lord will transform you in the name of Jesus Christ. No, I'm only flowing with our Sunday school teacher. He taught us one. So me too, I've learned another one, palingenesia. Can you put your hands together for the Lord? Let's be on our feet. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. As you walk up to five family members and give them family greetings.